I just asked the Lord at the start of just our time of worship, and just asked the question, what are you doing here? What, as in here tonight, here, as in here in our church community? And he led me to Jeremiah 18. It says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord was this: arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. And so Jeremiah, he did as he was asked or led, and he went down to the potter's house. And there he saw the potter sitting by his wheel as it was spinning right in front of him. And Jeremiah saw that the clay in the potter's hand was spoiled. It wasn't the shape that it was ought to be. And so all it says here is that the potter reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good to the potter to do. And I just had this sense that there's a great reworking that the Lord is doing in my life, in your life, in church community. And I was just thinking about this idea of a vessel that seemed good to the potter. And obviously a vessel carries something. That's the idea of a vessel. It holds something. And as I asked the Lord, what is it about this vessel? And I just had this sense that He is reworking us into a vessel to carry His presence in a different way, in a new way. And as we've been going through this series on the Holy Spirit, it's been undeniable to me that is the work that He is doing, that there is a reworking, a remolding, a reshaping. We are the clay in the potter's hand, and you know, the thing about the clay in the potter's hand is the clay doesn't really get a say in how it ends up. The clay can't talk back, the clay can't argue, the clay can't inject its own thoughts, but the work of clay is to surrender in the hands of the potter as he reworks things as it seems good for him to do so. And so, friend, I ask you to lean into that the Lord is reworking you, that you are the clay in the potter's hand, that we together as his family are clay in the potter's hand, and he is taking what was and he is reworking it into something that will carry and hold and host and steward his presence in a whole new and different way. And so my prayer is that we would tonight become more like the vessel that he is shaping, that we would in fact surrender ourselves to the hands of the potter as he shapes us. And so to that end, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are here by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you have made your dwelling in each one of our hearts. Father, this is the place where you reside. In these imperfect bodies, in this imperfect body, you make your home. And the grace of that is astounding. That the perfection and the holiness and the righteousness of all that you are and all that your kingdom is sees fit to love and invade this imperfect body, and to make your presence known in the world. And so, God, we pray that tonight as we come to your word, God, that you would be reworking us, remolding us, shaping us into people and a church that contains and holds and hosts and stewards your presence in a whole new way. So, God, we look forward with anticipation to the reworking that you do. God, that we indeed would become the vessel that you see fit and right and good for us to become. In your name, amen. Well, I want you to take a sec. We're going to watch if you're new with us this evening or you've kind of missed a few weeks, the guys at the Bible Project are a great resource, and they've got a 3-minute video on the Holy Spirit. And I know the kids love a good video as well. And so, Rocky, can you pull the lights down and we'll take a couple of minutes and watch this quick video. Well, if you have been with us, we're now halfway through this series on the person of the Holy Spirit, and we've covered plenty of ground already. We've looked at the Holy Spirit right throughout Scripture. We've seen that he is the third person and part of the Trinity, that he has been present and active in the world since the beginning, and he continues to do so. He has not stopped, and as we saw there, the Holy Spirit will continue to work until the fulfillment of the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, that it is his role, his job, to be breathing new creation into this broken creation until the day of Jesus ultimately returning. He is the creative, energizing presence of God, the one who points people to Jesus, the one who empowers believers, empowers you and I to love God and to love others. We've looked at the need to listen to Holy Spirit's voice and direction in our lives. We've looked at the vital call for us to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. Last week we looked at the Holy Spirit being the role of the illuminator as we come to God's Word, that He reveals to us the truth of God, that as we come to the Word that He reveals to us the character and the nature and the plans and the purposes of God. And if you were with us last week, I shared that we are shifting gears a little bit into practice mode. And the quote that I shared from Tyler Statton last week, and it has stuck with me all week, was, "We cannot experience God in new ways with our noses in a book. We must get our feet beyond the boundaries of our comfort zones and get our hands dirty in the practice of the Spirit's power." And Tyler was making this observation off the back of the reason that we maybe not experience the fullness of the power of the Holy Spirit isn't through lack of desire, but it is perhaps through a lack of practice. And so as the people of God here, we want to practice the ministry of Holy Spirit among us as we grow in maturity as believers, as a family of God's people, all with the call on our lives to build one another up, to be equipped for good works that God has created for us to walk in. And so it is my desire, and more importantly than my desire, it's God's desire that we would be the kind of church that Paul encouraged Timothy in his second letter, that says that we would be equipped for every good work, which is also echoed by the writer to the Hebrews, who prayed that God would equip you with everything good that you might be able to do His will. And so Jesus hasn't stopped in His longing to fill us. He has not ceased in His desire to make His home within us. He is still about the work of energizing us with His life. He is still in the business of imparting gifts to us that would be the equipping of us. He is still giving gifts to help us point others to Jesus and partner with Him in what He is doing in the world. But the question is, how do we get it? I mean, this energizing life, this wind, this breath, this ruach, the breath of God, how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Great question. Firstly, we receive the Holy Spirit only by faith. When we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, a moment and also a process that the Bible calls being born again, this is the moment where our old life is put to death and our new life in Christ arises into the fullness of who God has called and created us to be. We take on a new identity as sons and daughters of the Most High King. Now, the Holy Spirit, much like salvation, cannot be earned through doing enough good things. It can't be achieved more of Him by reading the Bible for long enough. We cannot receive the Holy Spirit in some kind of greater measure because we're a Jedi Knight of quiet times and we just nail them 7 days out of seven and then all of a sudden goes, "Oh, now you've done enough of that, I'll give you my Spirit." The Holy Spirit dwells within you at the moment of salvation. The indwelling permanency of God, not just in part and not just in portion, But the fullness of the Holy Spirit is a gift given by the grace of God at the moment where we place our faith in Him. He is like, as the Bible describes, a stamp, a seal that gets stamped upon our lives that says to Him and says to the world, you are mine. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is a stamp confirming our sonship and our citizenship and our daughtership in His kingdom, that we now belong to His. And so if you are here tonight and you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior of your life, rest assured that the Holy Spirit has made His dwelling in your life, in your body, in your heart, in the fullness of who you are. He has taken up residence in you. That He has given you an inner strength, that He is the one who is reworking our lives from the inside out, that we would live a God-honoring and fruitful life for His kingdom. And while that is all totally and undeniably true, we also see in the Bible that there are other experiences that people have in receiving the Holy Spirit. And these ways that we're going to look at tonight are never a replacement of the first and foundational truth that the Spirit is a gift from God at salvation that cannot be earned. But we see across the Bible ways that demonstrate in the natural what is happening in the spiritual. For example, in Jesus' own life, as we saw here at His baptism, it's like the heavens open wide and a dove descends and rests on Jesus, signifying with a physical symbol the invisible presence of God upon Him. And after His resurrection in John 20:22, Jesus, He breathes on his disciples. You'd want to hope He'd had a fresh breath mint as He did so. He breathes on them and He says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And in that moment, His disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit, a physical action breathing upon them that pointed to an invisible impartation, the physical breath of God signifying a spiritual and invisible impartation into their lives. Then at Pentecost, while the whole church was gathered, praying together, a sound like a rushing wind, again, a physical symbol. It filled the entire house at what appeared to be tongues of fire rested on them, and they began bizarrely speaking in other languages as the Spirit gave them words. And this moment was the fulfillment of the prophecy in Joel, who said, "In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, and on your sons and your daughters they shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapors of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is what we're seeing, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in human history and in our lives too. And then throughout the book of Acts, we continue to see moments where the Holy Spirit is imparted into people's lives through the laying on of the apostles' hands. In Acts 8, the new believers in Samaria, you know, when Peter and John, we looked at this the other week, when they heard what had happened, how the Samaritans were receiving salvation, as it was preached, the gospel was preached to them. They heard the news and they went down there and they prayed for the new believers in Samaria. And as they laid their hands upon them, they received the gift, a baptism in the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 9, Saul, he's walking blindly down the road on the way to Damascus when he is visited by Ananias. And Ananias was sent there by the Lord to place his hands on him. And he came and he laid his hands on Saul. And all of a sudden, Saul could see again. And he received the Holy Spirit in that moment. In Acts 19, the church, this has moved now from an individual experience to a collective experience. Paul lays his hands on the believers who had only known John's baptism. They'd experienced the baptism of repentance, where they've gone down into the water and they've come back up. And he goes down, he prays, he lays hands on them, and the Spirit fills the church in Ephesus. In fact, the practice of laying hands on people is well documented right across the Bible. In Genesis 48, 13 to 20, there's a story of Jacob laying his hands on Ephraim and Manasseh to put a blessing upon them. In Numbers 27, 18 to 23, God instructs Moses to go and lay his hands on Joshua. And when he does, Joshua is filled with the Holy Spirit, a spirit of wisdom, and is recognized as Israel's new leader. And then we fast forward into the New Testament and Jesus throughout the Gospels. You know, you can go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and they will all speak to the moments where Jesus went and he placed his hands on people. And then when he did, there were broken bodies were healed. People who were blind could now see. Heck, even touching dead people, and dead people came to life again. In Acts 6, there were seven people chosen to take on the administration of church life, making sure that everything happened. And the apostles, they went and laid hands on the seven who were chosen and commissioned them into this ministry, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul wrote to remind Timothy, to remind him that the gift of God in his life was imparted to him through the laying on of hands. Now, it seems to me that there is something in the practice of laying on of hands on people that holds incredible power in the life of a Jesus follower. And we can see in Scripture that the laying on of hands is for multi-purposes of blessing, to bless children, to bless descendants, to bless a community, to heal the sick and the afflicted, to commission people into a task that the Lord has got for them, laying on of hands for the role of impartation of the Spirit, the laying on of hands to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the laying on of hands to signify authority, that the authority of God is being handed over to us. And every time we see the laying on of hands in Scripture, we see the Spirit at work filling people with His presence. We see Him healing broken bodies and equipping believers for ministry and mission. Filling, healing, and equipping. That is the work of the Spirit among us, friends. To fill us with the dynamic life and energy that is the presence of God within us, to use us as vessels of healing in our world, that where we go carrying the healing presence of God, we touch things with our lives and with the presence of God, and they are healed and redeemed and restored. And that the Holy Spirit is here to equip us, to give us the gifts that He sees fit for what we are facing or walking through in life right now. That laying on hands on people is a biblical practice, and it shouldn't scare us. That embodies God's power through human touch. A tangible sign pointing to an invisible grace. And in the laying on of hands, we are reminded of God's nearness, of God's friendship, of God's tenderness, of God's grace and His power to enter into the details of our lives with deep care and compassion. I mean, you know the feeling when somebody comes alongside you in a real moment of difficulty or grief or sadness, or a moment where you just know that you need some encouragement and a loved friend comes alongside and places their hand upon you, and the receiving of compassion and care in that moment. It is similar that when, as brothers and sisters, we pray for one another, and through the laying on of hands, we are filled and we are equipped and we are healed. We are reminded of the nearness and the tenderness and the comfort of God in our lives. And so, in case you hadn't joined the dots yet, I want us to spend some time tonight before we go and eat in a time of prayer together as a church community. And I want us to practice the ministry of the Holy Spirit through laying on of hands, praying for each other as we place a hand on a shoulder and ask that God would in fact fill us afresh and renew us and call us to a greater awareness of His Spirit. Maybe that there is broken bodies in the room that the Lord wants to heal tonight, and through the laying on of hands, the impartation of healing through that ministry of the Spirit. Perhaps there are things in the room tonight that you come in with where there's decisions in your life to be made. There's wisdom that is needed, and we see it throughout Scripture, the laying on of hands and the impartation of wisdom as the Holy Spirit is at work. You know, this is something that I want us to grow in together, growing in maturity as we minister together, both here at church and out in our broader community, when God may prompt you to pray for someone, to pray into a situation. But I'll say this, and before we go on, that creating safe ministry spaces and creating safe ministry practices is vitally important to our witness in the world. That it can be a moment, laying on of hands can be something that's like, is this appropriate? Is this okay? And so before we actually do this, I just want to share a few very practical things that I hope would be really helpful for you in how you pray for one another, be that here, be that in your own homes, be that in your workplace, wherever you might find yourself, in a way that is safe for you and is safe for others. Because as I said, it is vitally important to our witness in the world that we are people who hold the responsibility of God's calling in our lives in a way that respects others. And so, like I said, we're getting practical. I'm going to get really practical. All right, is that okay? Very good. So before you pray for somebody and you lay a hand on them, it is number one, most important, that you always seek consent, that you always ask for somebody's permission. Don't just go up to somebody randomly and put your hand on their body. That's not okay. That is not safe ministry practice. That's asking the simple question of, would you be comfortable if I placed my hand on your shoulder while I pray for you? It doesn't have to be awkward or weird, just a normal question. Would it be okay if I put my hand on your shoulder as I pray for you? Either way, you need to respect the answer. Some people prefer not to be touched. Maybe you are one of them, and that is totally okay, because God is not limited to physical contact. All right? So we can be comfortable with that. We need to make sure that we ask for consent. Is it okay if I place my hand on your shoulders, I pray for you? And if they say no, be okay with that and pray anyway, because God will still be at work, no doubt. Number two, use appropriate touch. Kind of speaks for itself. In safe ministry, there's the safety triangle, which is like just the top of the back between the shoulders, kind of up here, to avoid private or sensitive areas when we lay hands on people, such as the head or the chest or the lower back, unless the person specifically asks for you to pray for their lower back, for example, then that is okay. So always seek consent. Is it okay if I pray for you? Always use appropriate touch. Number three, be mindful of age, gender, and context. This is also a very important one. Never lay hands on a child without the consent and the presence of a parent or primary caregiver. Best practice would be to, in fact, ask a parent to lay hands on their own child while you pray. Again, God is not limited to the fact that your hand isn't the one there, but if you ask with a parent to say, hey, I would love to pray, you know, God may have given you a word or encouragement, or maybe there's a child who's, you know, we want to pray healing for. Again, encourage, making sure that parents are the ones to be doing that. Where possible, same gender prayer is best, especially in one-on-one situations. But where they're in a mixed setting, male praying for female or vice versa, again, stick to the appropriate touch protocols and consider asking another person of the same gender to join you. And so it's happened before here where I may have had a female ask me to pray for them. I will grab somebody else, one of our female elders, and say, hey, can you come and pray as well? That would just be a safe thing for everyone, to protect everyone. And always keeping the setting public and transparent. Don't go praying for people in hidden corners is a really important thing to do. Fourthly, pray with a posture of humility, remembering that power is not in your hands, but in the Spirit's. That we come stewarding the power of God, not with a sense of our own power. That laying on hands is symbolic of connection and blessing, not control or force. And so, friends, keep any touch gentle and respectful. I remember being in a prayer meeting once in at a youth camp where I was tried to be pushed over. Leon's laughing because he was probably, was it you? No. But and I refused to be pushed, like to fall over. And I remember just reversing all the way back to the wall, and this person wouldn't stop pushing. I'm like, bro, what's going on? Like, are you trying to do this or is the Spirit trying to do this? I don't know, but I'm not cool with it. Fifthly, involve community. Where possible, invite others to also join with you in prayer, in laying hands on people, symbolizing the body of Christ in prayer together, that this is ministry together, and it also prevents the impression that one person has the special power. We kind of go, hey, let's a few of us get together and really pray pray for this person. It takes away that risk of someone feeling like they're the hero with all of the blessing of God. It's like, no, he's at work through all of us equally here. It's all good. Six, I know this is a lot. I'll put these out in our email this week. How about I do that just so there's a good reference point for you in how to pray for people. Number six, be sensitive to trauma or culture and culture. That some people have past trauma in their lives where touch may be really triggering for them, or come from cultures where touch carries different meaning. And so a simple alternative can be to extend your hand towards somebody without touching, still very symbolic but and still very powerful, but being sensitive to other people's story, journey that you may be totally unaware of. And lastly, and I think very importantly, is follow up with care. After praying for someone, thank them for allowing you to pray. Hey, just want to say thanks for letting me into this space with you and pray God's blessing upon you. And if God seemed to stir something significant, encourage them to process that with a trusted leader or a friend or within their small group, or if they're receiving any other professional services in their life for whatever the case might be, encouraging follow-up and care. There's a lot in there, I know. But here's what I want to do. I want to invite Joe and Mings and Hannah back up, and just want to create just a little bit of space here for the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to highlight what he may be wanting to impart among us, and practice laying hands on one another. If you are comfortable to do that or to be prayed for, would be an amazing thing for us to experience. As we said, this is practice. This isn't perfect. This isn't about getting it right, but how we can just grow and step out of our comfort zones perhaps a little bit more in how we experience and we steward the power and the presence of God among us. So I'm going to invite you to stand, and it's not like, full like oogly googly, spooky, weird stuff. This is just us coming to the Lord and asking, what do you want to show us? What do you want to say? Where are you moving among us? How do you want to equip us? And we'll just be led by him. And if there are things that we feel like we want to pray into together, then we'll do that. And if there's things in particular that you feel like God may be saying, feel free just to come and bring that as well. The way it'll work is if you want prayer, we'll just ask anyone to put a hand up and say, yeah, I would like prayer for that. We'll take that as your consent to somebody nearby placing their hand on your shoulder. Is that okay? Cool. Well, let's just pray and ask the Lord to speak. Father, I thank you that you care deeply for us. You care about the details of our lives. You care about the things that aren't right, the things that are unwell, the things that are broken. You care about our wholeness. And we thank you that your Holy Spirit at work in us is bringing us to greater wholeness, bringing our world to greater wholeness, where there is war and there is terror, that your Holy Spirit is at work and yearning to bring peace and to bring healing. That where's the impacts of sin in our lives that robs us of joy, you want to return gladness. That where there is chaos in our lives and in our world, you want to bring peace. And so, Holy Spirit, what is it that you have for us tonight? What is it you want to impart, Lord? Lord just gave me a picture of the five ways there at Miranda, where there's five ways, funnily enough. And perhaps he's just shown me that because maybe you're standing at an intersection of life at the moment where it seems like there are many options and you're really unsure of which way to go. All knowing that, you know, they're all leading somewhere, but you're not quite sure where. And maybe you're just not sure of which road to take just now. The Holy Spirit wants to impart wisdom to you, not necessarily the right answer, but wisdom. Wisdom to be able to make a decision. And I don't really like doing the whole, is that you, put your hand up kind of thing, but for the purposes of practicing how we steward the presence and power of God, is there anyone here who is feeling like that, that you are standing at a particular junction of life right now where the way just does not seem clear to you and there's many things afoot? Maybe as you've been reading the scriptures, you're just aware of a disconnect between your experience of the Holy Spirit and what you see in Scripture, and kind of wondering, is there something wrong with you because you're not working in the prophetic, or maybe you've been praying for the gift of the spiritual language to pray in tongues. Perhaps there are other gifts that you have been going, God, why have I not? I've been praying for so long. Perhaps there's spiritual gifts there that you've been yearning for that seem maybe like those prayers are going unanswered. Is there anyone here who's yearning for spiritual gifts of any kind at the moment? We can pray that there'd be an impartation of the Spirit. God, I pray for dreams and visions. As the prophecy in Joel, and as we see the fulfillment of that in Pentecost, that upon all flesh, men, women, children, all and sundry, you will pour out your Spirit. And with that comes dreams and visions. God, I pray that you would break into the sleeping hours of our church and that you would speak through dreams. That you would give us dreams of what you are doing and where you are leading and what is happening next. God, in the waking hours, that our eyes would see supernatural visions of how your Spirit is moving and what you're calling us to. Visions that build us up and encourage one another. Father, give us visions to share with others that would build them up and encourage them. Even the really weird visions, give us those ones that seem to make no sense in our own intellect, but when they are shared, it makes a huge amount of sense because it is your breath, it is your Spirit. So God, I pray an impartation of dreams and visions upon your church in Jesus' name. God, I ask for an impartation of boldness and courage to take this practice into our lives and into our homes. That we would bear witness to your power at work in the world. And that we would be safe operators in your kingdom who pray and lay hands on the sick and the confused and the chaos. That we would touch lives and touch situations. And God, through no power of our own, but only through your power at work, there would be radical transformation. Perhaps you're carrying some grief at the moment. Perhaps even as you look at world events and there's an overwhelm that you're experiencing, carrying a burden for what's going on in a situation in your life or your workplace or globally that is just weighing heavily on you. If there's anyone here that wants prayer for that, for the relief of the burden of a situation in your life that is just creating a weightiness and a heaviness, just ask the person next to you to pray. Before we head out for dinner, if you feel comfortable, just I invite you to hold your hands out just as a way to say, Lord, I want to receive from you this evening. You don't have to. Just as a posture of body that indicates something that is happening in the Spirit. That we just open our hands to you tonight, Lord. And whatever the impartation is that you have for us, I pray that we would receive it with the open hands in front of us that signify an open heart, that say, God, do a work in us. Do a work in my life. Do a great reworking like clay in the potter's hand. That you would shape my heart, that you would shape your church, you would shape each one of us as you see fit. And God, if that reworking and if that shaping is the impartation of spiritual gifts, or is a greater measure of a fruit of your Holy Spirit, place that on us and in us right now in Jesus' name. Grant us the faith, just the size of a mustard seed, to believe, Lord, that you will do as you said you would do. That you would guide us, that you would comfort us, that you would fill us, that you would lead us, that you would lead us into truth. That you would save us. You would use us. you would bless us. God, thank you for the gift of Holy Spirit who does all of this in our lives. And may the posture of our hearts be as we go from this moment to receive from you to bless others. God, that we would steward and host your presence in our lives and in our community in a way that honors you and loves others. So, Father, I ask that you would use the ministry of laying on of hands in our community to encourage, to bless, to impart, and to see your kingdom come here more fully. In Jesus' name, amen.